Hello, women of strength. We are almost done with 2025, and I cannot believe it. But we are going to be ending the last few episodes of the year with just incredible, incredible people sharing beautiful stories and tips. And today we have our friend Kella. She is an HBAC after two cesareans. So, as a reminder, HBAC is home birth after two cesareans. She had two planned home births with the first two and ended up having some things happen and going in and having C-sections. And through research and finding a fantastic provider, she was able to have a beautiful, redemptive home birth after two cesarean birth. And she's going to talk a little bit more about some of the things that were happening and some of the things she felt and noticed before baby was even born with both her C-section babies and her VBAC baby. And I just want you to kind of take note of these things. As you're listening, notice how she was feeling and take note of that. And notice if that's how you're feeling, that it's, something to be aware of and it's okay to change providers. We're gonna stress pretty hard in this episode how much a provider can impact the outcome and the overall experience of your birth. So definitely check out this episode. And when you're done, check out our blog. So it'll be in the show notes on how to find a supportive provider. And then remember that we have a supportive provider list listed on our Instagram. You can go in, find the link, and go find that supportive provider list. It's under like the bio info area. It's a really great space to start if you're feeling overwhelmed and just unsure of where to go or where to look or who to turn to. And know that these are people that have been suggested to us by others in our community. We have not personally met 99.9% of these people, but they are providers that have been proven to be supportive for people in our community, and they have highly suggested that their names be listed on this list. So it's a really great place to start and see if there's someone in your area or maybe even outside of your area, but within a reasonable amount of transportation for you to check out. So, all right, we're gonna get into the intro and then get into this beautiful HVAC story. Hi, my name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after two C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional. All right, Kella, thank you so much for being here with me today. Really, I am so excited for you to share the ups and the downs of your journeys. Like, as an HVAC, well, technically, I'm a birth center birth, so not quite HVAC, but out of hospital, VBAC after two C-section mama. Like, I understand like the ups and the downs, and like the feelings from the first birth going to a C-section, and then like the second one wanting a VBAC and not getting a VBAC. And then making lots of choices and different things, and then having it. It's just such an amazing moment. But I'm excited for you to share this because there's so many people in our community lately that are like, I don't know if I can go for a VBAC or a TOLAC, right? Trial of labor after cesarean, in fear of it not working out. And I want to tell them, like, if this is something you want to do, go for it. It is worth it.
Absolutely.
So yeah, so I'm going to turn the time over to you so you can share your stories. And if you have any advice along the way to our community or women of strength that are kind of feeling that way, Feel free to share.
Definitely. Okay, yay. I'm excited to be here. So I guess I'll start with my first birth. 2018, I found out I was pregnant less than a month after I got married. But I knew I wanted kids right away. I was like, okay, we're married, we're having kids. I always wanted to be a mom, always, like my whole life. And I've been very passionate about birth. A good friend of mine had a home birth probably a couple years before I found out I was pregnant. So I was like binging all kinds of birth videos and all this stuff. I just very, very passionate about birth for a long time. And I knew that I wanted a home birth. I didn't want to be in the hospital, but I mean, it's my first pregnancy and I had no idea what I was doing. So yeah, I found out I was pregnant. I actually ended up hiring her midwife. She's was amazing. Mary Catherine is her name. And she was from St. Pete at the time, but she met with her, hired her, just honestly, never even had the thought of a C-section in my mind. It wasn't even like on my radar at the time. I didn't even entertain it because I was like, oh, there's no way like I'm gonna have this home birth and that's gonna be that. I don't even like nothing. Everything's gonna go as planned, right? That's funny. Because births never go as planned. So, oh
Such a
my
good thing
God.
right there. It's so
That
important
is
to
so true.
know that.
But I think I was holding a little too tightly onto that. But obviously, I was late because I heard first babies do go late. I think I was 10 days late with my first. So went into labor. Everything was going really good. But I think the big mistake that I had here was I had 11 people at my house for my birth. And all of them did not agree with what I was doing except my midwife and my husband. So all of that energy that was going on in my house, I would recommend to first-time moms, who's in your space is really important with labor. And I found out firsthand, like if people aren't on the same level or they don't have the same energy as you or they don't agree with the birth that you're trying to achieve, I wouldn't recommend like having them in your sacred space. So I'll start with
Absolutely.
that because, like I said, nobody did except my husband and midwife. But oh my goodness, I labored for so long.
And
Yes.
you felt that your body probably
I,
responded to that.
yeah.
And I want to point out too, sometimes, like one of the home births I attended as a doula, she had like a whole crew, which is like so
Yeah.
great. You want that love and that support and that like
Yeah.
that overall like building up. But she was hosting. She felt like she had to host. It was the weirdest. She was
That
hosting
is
her
very
own
true.
birth. And so she was
Exactly.
so concerned about what everyone was eating, if everyone
Yeah.
had, places to rest. At one point, she was like, "Is there toilet paper in the bathroom?"
Oh my God.
Like she wasn't able to get
Yeah.
into birthing, like in a birthing space because she was hosting.
Yeah, you can't. It's impossible.
Yeah.
It is. It's a lot. And I should have seen the red flag when before like things were even getting crazy with active labor or anything. There was like they were coming up, my mom and sister, with this safe, I don't even know what I would want to call it, a safe word, because a word that if I needed to go to the hospital. So there was that energy was already getting, and I wasn't even like thinking about that, you know? But I mean, it was a long birth. I think I labored at home for 26 hours and I had only gotten to a four. So I didn't get very far along. And then things were just getting really intense. Like the contractions were piling up on each other and it wasn't very consistent. And I was in such a good headspace, but I think with all that like extra energy, like, oh, do you need to go to the hospital? Like, how are you doing? At one point, my husband made everyone leave because we have a little efficiency that we rent out now, but it was empty at the time. And he's like, everyone has to leave. So they all had to go back in that efficiency. And I noticed that the energy did shift then for a little bit. It's like my contractions got a little less intense. It's like everything kind of calmed down. But then my head just started spiraling, you know? I mean, it was my first labor. I just started second guessing myself. I didn't know what to do. So I ended up just making the move to go to the hospital. And that's when, like, all the intervention started, of course, right? That's always how it happens. I got there. I think they started once I got in triage with the, it's like a shot that kind of like numbs you out for like 45 minutes. I don't remember what it's called, but it stops the pain, but it's not the epidural. And then that came back, like the pain came back. And then I was just, at that point, I was so tired. It was like 30 hours of labor and I was still at a four and I was just beyond exhausted. So yeah, I, opted to get the epidural, got the epidural, rested some, which was nice. It was nice to rest. After that, things just started progressing. Like, of course, then they wanted to start me on Pitocin. They broke my water without it breaking. They broke it, and the Pitocin started. And then I never got past a six. So I sat at a six for, I think it was like 40 hours now. I was stuck at a six. And then I spiked a fever. So they like rushed in. Oh, you have a fever. Like, you could have chorio. I don't know if that's how you say it. This is,
Choreo.
yeah. And I don't know. I didn't even know what that actually was, to be honest with you. I hadn't even researched that because I wasn't even thinking of a hospital setting. So I'm like, oh, I don't have to like worry about any of that. But that
The
started, and
type
then
of infection.
yeah, the uterus, right, is where it's supposed to be. Yeah, after that, they just like, we're gonna give you a few more hours, and if you're not progressing, then we have to like make another decision. And I think I had reached 42 hours, still at a six. The baby's heart rate was fine, but I was just stuck at a six, and they thought for sure that I had chorio. So the C-section talk, which like I had never even like imagined that I would. It's crazy that I still get emotional because my son's gonna be seven, but I had never imagined that like that would be my story. And I eventually like went for it because I'm exhausted, and it's 40. It's like 42 hours of labor at this point, and we went for it, but like, I refused. I stood very strong on my birth plan. Like, I told them, you're not sending my placenta out to get tested. I will take it home. And they fought me so hard on that. But I said, no, I'm taking my placenta home with me. And I was able to get it. But that's where I was wondering, how do they even know if it's chorio? Don't they have to test your placenta or test the fluid in, like, the fluid from the water that breaks? Like, don't they have to test that to know if it's chorio?
My friend that was tested, that is what they did. They took
He
her
They didn't test
placenta.
me. So how would they know that I had chorio? That's where I'm at. Just because I
So
spiked
they
my
did,
birth?
like diagnose you with chorio.
Yes, it's in my birth notes. And
Interesting.
I started like that'll I'll jump I won't jump forward to that yet, but I got through the C-section. Very traumatic. Like, oh my God, I was exhausted. I mean, 42 hours of labor, then C-section, and yeah, I was very tired. I think that that played a big part. I did suffer with some postpartum depression because everything had just changed and I didn't have the birth plan I wanted. And I was just, the C-section, the recovery, ooh, I was not ready for that. The recovery is hard. Or it was for me because I think I had labored for so long that I was just exhausted. But, I stayed in the hospital. They kept me on antibiotics for supposed chorio. But I mean, that's kind of the gist of that
So
birth story.
I just looked it up like exactly, and I was going to ask this about because you said your baby's heart rate was fine. Because with my
Yes.
friend, when she got chorio, like her baby's heart rate was really tacky, like really, really, really high.
The second one that happened to me.
Okay,
The second
so
labor, yeah.
it does say laboratory tests such as blood, amniotic fluid cultures, or specific protein levels have to be taken in order to determine.
Yeah. See, they didn't do any of that. And then when I
It does
started
say
researching,
examination of the placenta.
yeah, see, no, I took it home and I started like going down a rabbit hole after that. And I was reading that epidurals, it's very likely that they can give you a fever. So I don't know if it was my body reacting to that,
And a long
but
labor, and if you were checked a lot of
diagnosed, yeah. Oh,
times, that can
so many
happen.
times, yeah, so many times. But I did. I got through that. I got out of the hospital. I think I was in there almost 3 days, and I got to take my placenta with me. And yeah, that the recovery for that birth, I will say, I think was the hardest because it just first time. Not the plan that I thought I was going to have. Had surgery, that whole nine yards. But I did struggle with postpartum, I think, definitely for a while. And birth trauma. I mean, clearly, I'm still crying over it. So there's still trauma there. You know what I mean? Which is crazy because it's been, my son will be seven in December. So it's almost been 7 years and I still get affected like this. That's how, wow. Yeah. I didn't even
I
realize.
mean, birth outcomes and experiences, they leave impacts forever. And
Definitely.
even when we've processed and like truly healed, they can like you can truly be healed from your experience, but also still feel that.
Yeah, well, that's definitely the case. I mean, I don't tell my birth story often, so I guess I never even realized that I was like still emotional about it. Wow, yeah. But that's when I knew from the get-go. I didn't know if I was gonna have another for sure, but I was like, VBAC, absolutely. I mean, I remember being less than Molokai was less than a week old. That's my son's name, and I'm like reading VBAC stories already. And I've
Yeah.
seen that's a common thing when I've heard a lot of the podcasts. A lot of women do that, and it's just crazy, but it was inspiring, even being that fresh out of birth, to know that it happens and a lot of women do it, and it's possible
Yeah.
was a big deal to me. Yeah,
And I
definitely.
feel like we latch on to wanting something different, even though it's so fresh. We're like, hold on, I didn't like that. I want to see if there's
Not
something
at
different.
all.
And when we find out that there is something different and we can have this other opportunity, it's hard to not like latch on to it, and hold
No,
on
exactly.
super tight.
And I know I also want to point for other women on, I can't stand the saying, but your pelvic floor is too small. Because I am a petite person and I got told that multiple different times from multiple angles with why I couldn't have a vaginal birth because my mom had two C-sections. And I remember the person, the O, like the what do you call them that does the C-section in the OR? Don't they have a special
The,
name?
well, there's the anesthesiologist or like the OB,
No, the
like
actual, yeah, the one who does the surgery.
the
She,
O, the opposite, yeah, the
yes,
OB.
the obstetrician, thank you. She came into my room before she got off her shift and said, I just wanted to let you know, like, it was your son's position. Your pelvic floor is not too small. He was in an asynclitic posterior position.
Okay,
So
yeah, so tilted
she didn't
and
have to
back.
tell me that. She didn't have to come say that to me after, before her shift ended. So, like, that was a big piece of hope for me every time I heard, your
Absolutely.
pelvic floor is too small because she came to me to tell me that is not the case. Like, I just want you to know his position was not good. Like, his head was whatever the. So it
Yeah.
was like, instead of going
So
this way, it was on.
he's tilted and starting
Rip.
side up like backwards. So
Yeah.
those two things. So he needed to have
Not a good mix.
rotation and yeah, so many of us are told our our pelvis is too small that we have CPD and it's hard. Sometimes it's easy to just be like, oh, okay, and believe
Yeah,
that.
if you want to be able to trust what the doctors
Yeah.
are telling you, but it's not always the case.
It's pretty rare. Pretty rare to
Very
have
rare.
a pelvis that's actually too
Yeah.
small to birth a baby,
No.
even a petite person birthing a larger baby.
Yeah,
It's
which
still
was
totally
me for my
possible.
last baby. So I'm living proof that you can
Yes.
do it. Oh my
Can't
God.
wait to hear those stats.
I know. Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. But I was one and done for a while, but just because it was traumatic for me.
Yeah.
And I just remember always saying, like, I'm good with one and done. But I was three. Molokai had just turned three, and I found out I was pregnant. So backstory a little bit. A couple months before his birthday, I found out I was pregnant, and it was not planned. We were very much in shock. But then I had a miscarriage at like 7 weeks, and then that's when I realized, oh my gosh, I really do want to have another baby. So then he was planned. I think I had only gone through one other cycle and then fell pregnant again with Makoa, my second boy. So that's also another thing that's possible. I know they say to sometimes wait, but then the more research that I did, it said it's better to kind of get right back into it after miscarriage because your body's already kind of like in the mode of wanting to be pregnant. So I don't know. It worked for me. I know it doesn't work for everybody, but I did fall pregnant quickly.
That's
And that
awesome.
one was healthy. I was very nervous because I had never had a miscarriage before and that was scary. But the woman that I wanted to originally get for that was with my first birth, she wasn't available like for that month that Makoa was due and she recommended me to another midwife. So I ended up going with her. But that, another big pinpoint I would say is just make sure that you connect with your provider a lot because I didn't really feel that from her on my second birth. And I kept having this inner voice saying, like, switch, switch, switch. And I didn't. And I regret that because really it wasn't a good experience. And I think that I ended up in the hospital way faster than I could have been because there was like zero support there, if that makes sense. I don't know. Which is rare for home births, I guess, but I did experience that with my second. I just kind of felt like she didn't want to get there, be there from the get-go whenever she showed up when I was in labor. Did not feel supported at all. And then that labor, trying to think, I was actually early on that labor. I went into labor at 38 weeks on the dot. So I was expecting to go late because my first went late. And then when I went to labor, I'm like, there's no way. I'm not like this. It's not real. I'm not in labor. But it was. And she showed up. And like I said, right away, my husband had weird energy from her. I had weird energy from her. Something just wasn't right. I ended up, my contractions were piling on top of each other again, which is honestly kind of brutal when there's like no break, especially when you're not far dilated. So like you think, you know, oh, I must be really far dilated because my contractions are so intense. And I was at like a, I think I was only at like a three, a two or a three. And that's can be hard to hear. And it can kind of like shift our energy into, oh my gosh, like, can I do this? And that's, I think, what happened is I was so set on a VBAC, but I was starting to shift. I said, can you please check me? Like, I was in a lot of pain and I was only at a three. So I had hired a doula for that birth. And I remember her just like speaking to me and she's like, what's the most important thing here? And to me, I said, you know, a home birth. And she said, no, you know, what I think what's most important to you is that you have a VBAC. She's like, don't feel guilty if you feel like you need to go to the hospital. She was just very supportive and reassuring. Like my midwife wasn't even like saying anything to me, but I'm glad that I hired a doula because I will say that support changes the game, especially because it's a woman and they're able to just connect on a different level. I don't really know how to explain it, but she helped me not feel as bad having to transfer because the contractions were just insane, like quadrupling on one
Was
another.
anybody like maybe bringing up the fact that maybe your baby was not in an ideal position this time
No,
either?
and
Was
that's
anyone
another
like,
thing because, like, I never got that, and I was so crazy the second pregnancy. I should have brought that up before of like, only sit up straight, your belly button flashlight. Never, I never reclined. Like, I had a wedge in my car. So, like, I did all these things. I did the mile circuit, and I thought, you know, he was, but you know, I don't know. She never really even told me what position he was in. So I don't know. I don't know. I ended up going to the hospital, of course, eventually getting the epidural. And I did end up getting to an eight. So I was like thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to happen. I didn't get past a six with my first. I'm at an eight. That nurse as well, because TGH was both of my C-sections, which I will give them credit. They're an incredible hospital. They have a whole like midwifery team and they are VBAC friendly. So Tampa General Hospital, I do recommend if anybody does want to go there that has like a midwife team as well as an OB team. So that lady even told me, you know, your pelvic floor is not too small. Like there's, I remember her like putting her hands right below his head and being like, see all this space that he's like able to wiggle, like you could do this. They were very supportive. But I got to an eight. I'm thinking this is gonna happen. I'm all excited. And then here comes the fever again. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Another fever. And his heart rate started being really high. So my doula stayed with me the whole time. She's like, we're going to try all these positions. So I did notice I was on my left side with the peanut ball. He did not like that. So that's when the heart rate was spiking. So we would switch it and then it would melt. It would go back down to normal. And then it would only be when we were in that one position that it would skyrocket. So I made sure to like, she was helping me flip positions and stay. But I don't think that they were having it after that. They're like, no, this is too risky. You have chorio again with the whole fever. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how is this happening again? Like the same story was happening again. And I ended up getting another C-section. And I was, you know, I was crushed. I mean, I don't really, there's really no other word. I know that they say, you know, accept your birth story as it comes. But that's hard to do when you have, when you're passionate about how you want to bring your baby to this world. And no way is better than the other. I'm not by any means saying that, but when we like are passionate about something, it does hurt to again have that story kind of unfold almost like the same exact way as my first birth. And that C-section, I went into it way more calm. I had them like play yoga music. I was calm, but then it took a turn because I started to tell the doctor they made my doula and my husband leave because they both were able to come in with me. I felt like I couldn't breathe. So then I remember them putting this like blue stuff in an IV and like, I'm like, I can't breathe. Oh my God, I feel like I'm going to throw up. So I was like dry heaving. And then they were putting this thing under my nose to make me, I don't know, it was like a strong smell maybe to make me like wake up.
Alert.
Yeah. And I was like, get that out. Like that was making it worse. But I will say that C-section was a little more intense because I like I felt like I couldn't breathe and then I was like dry heaving and then they made them leave. So I'm like, is something wrong? Like, what's happening? Why are you making them leave? They felt like something was definitely going on, and that was a scary feeling. But I ended up just kind of tuning in, like closing my eyes and able to get through it. And I made it through, but yeah, that was another like, wow,
Yeah.
this happened again. I thought for sure like I was gonna do it. And then you have people in your ear like, oh, see, it's dangerous. You should have just went into the hospital to begin with. And I don't think that's fair, because I feel like it takes away from our story and it almost makes us feel smaller than what we should. And I don't agree with that. So that's what happened. I didn't have postpartum with McCullough, but it was definitely still a rough recovery for sure. Definitely. But I did, for my second birth, I did hire, I didn't put this, I don't think, in my notes, but a postpartum doula, which was a game changer. Yeah.
That's
Like
awesome.
complete game changer. She was a good friend of ours. She still is. And I didn't even realize when she came over for her first visit that I needed to be held in that space until she like held that space for me. And it was like, I just like unloaded on her like tears. And she's gave me this foot bath and she's rubbing my feet and like flowers are in the foot water. And she's like having me talk and tell my story. And just like, she really helped me a lot. And I would say to any woman, like, if you're even like thinking about hiring a postpartum doula, just do it. It's worth the cost.
It
Because
really is.
we get held. You know, everyone's about the baby, oh, the baby. What about the mother? Like, she needs to be held as well. And that was a game changer. She brought me like Ayurvedic meals. She came, she rubbed my feet. She did the closing of the bones at the end, which I don't know if you're familiar with that. Yeah. That whole
Pretty
thing.
cool.
So, yeah, incredible. And she made my journey for postpartum a lot smoother. Yeah, so that was, yeah, that's
I
wow.
love that for you. I'm so glad that you did that.
I am too, because it really did help me. She's just amazing. Yeah, I would recommend her, especially to anybody that's local to my area or St. Pete as well, to definitely like look into her if they're pregnant or planning to have a baby.
Having a strong immune system is important, and it can be challenging during these colder months. I found it's hard to find something with clean ingredients that tastes good and doesn't have added sugar. Let me tell you, I can confidently say that I have found it. You guys don't have to look any further. I'm so excited. I highly recommend checking out Needed's Immune Support. Every ingredient is vetted by experts, and it not only includes exactly what you need, but also includes gut health support, which is pretty stinking cool. Did you know that 70% of your immune system resides in your gut? My entire family loves the immune support from Needed, and I bet yours will too. Try it today and get 20% off with the code VBACK. Find the immune support and so much more at thisisneeded.com, and don't forget to use code VBACK for 20% off your first order. All right, let's dive back into today's show.
Yeah, and then I thought for sure that I was done after two, even though it felt like, oh my gosh, I'll never even have a chance to have another vaginal birth. But I never planned on having three kids, me or my husband. And then, surprise, God had other plans. Yeah, and my son was only a year and a month, my second son, when I found out I was pregnant. It was honestly like, what? How's that? Like, because I'm so good at my cycle is so. It the same, like 28 days, or, and I know like when I ovulate, I'm just very in tune with my body. And I was like, oh, there's no way I could get pregnant. There's always a way. Okay, that's all I can say.
There's always a
There's
way.
always a way. I got pregnant, and I had two boys already, so I was like, I have to find out, because I didn't find out with my second. That was my only surprise birth, which was pretty amazing to not know until like you actually deliver your baby. But for this one, I said, I have to know if I'm gonna have another boy. I gotta prepare myself, because boys are, I love being a boy mom, but they're intense. It's like they're way more energy. And like, I just had to be like prepared to also know that that is my last baby. And it's not that I wanted a certain gender, but I did also want the experience of being a girl mom as well as being a boy mom. I really wanted to experience both. And I just wanted to know what I was having. So I did find out early with a blood test and found out it was a girl. So we were like through the roof with that. And yeah, I was determined. I said, no matter what, I am doing everything I can to have this baby at home. Like, it's my last baby. I'm doing this. And I had reached out to the midwife that delivered my first, because I wanted her for my second, but she wasn't available. And she actually doesn't
Yeah.
do home any births after two cesareans. She will only do it after one. So I was like, okay, well, do you know anybody? And she recommended Lucy, who an angel sent from Earth. I would recommend this midwife, Lucy Bryant from Indue Season, to anybody in the area planning to have a baby, especially a VBAC. She has had six VBACs. Very
Yay.
passionate. Yeah, like incredible woman. I think she's delivered like over 3,000 babies. And she just believed in me from the very beginning. And I felt that she was so strongly like, no, you were made to do this. You will do this. Like, we're going to do this. Trust me. Like, you're just incredible and very knowledgeable. So yeah, I hired her and I just had a good feeling from the get-go, especially with having her by my side. And it
A
just,
provider
yeah.
matters.
Oh my gosh, so much. So much. And not
Yeah.
even just being like, yeah, we'll do it, but like also like believing in you. There's a difference.
Yeah, and you
Yeah,
feel that.
you
Like
do.
just like with your second, you're like, there was this weird vibe. Like even my
Yeah.
husband caught on to that. Like she was
Exactly.
like taking you, but maybe not like really believing in you and in it with you. And it sounds like
Yeah.
this midwife is like, I'm right here with you, girl.
Yeah.
Like we've got this together. We can do
Yeah.
this.
And she delivered a lot of VBAC after two C-section moms. So it was just,
Awesome.
yeah, she's incredible. And that, so funny story there. I'm like, what am I, like a week, 2 weeks, like a week and a half away from my due date. We all know, guest date, whatever that
Yes.
means.
Yeah.
And she was going out of town. So I was a little taken back, but her daughter, she has eight kids. So her daughter was getting married. And it was the only time that she was able to like get fitted for her dress, and she needed her mom there. Like, I get it. I have kids, so how am I to say like you can't do that? But it's like also I was also very like, oh my gosh, like this is the one person that like I met the other women there too, but I just didn't feel the same as I did with her. And I was so nervous that I was going to deliver without her, but she is a firm believer in God, and she's like, if it's meant to happen, I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna be there. So I actually went to see her. I was a 37, no, was I 30, 38 in a couple days, and I never had a sweep or anything, and I didn't even really believe in those. But I was like, you know what? I just want you to tell me what's going on in my cervix, even though that doesn't really mean anything. And do you think I'm gonna have this baby before you leave? Or do you think that, like, what do you think? So she felt, and I was already a face and everything, and like at a centimeter or something. And I'm like, I just want you to do a sweep because I know that if I'm going to go into labor, it'll help speed it up if it's close, and maybe I'll catch you before you go out of town. She's like, you're crazy. Okay, you have to be there. You have to be there. You can't. So she did. And sure enough, like I didn't. And she was getting back the night before my due date. She was flying back in. I think she landed at like 10 p.m., right? 12 a.m. I swear, as soon as it hit on my due date, I get into the bed with my two boys and my water breaks. And that's never happened either. And I'm like, oh my God, are we joking? Did that actually just happen like on my due date? Water is breaking on its own. And so I called her and I said, well, I think things are going. And she had just landed on a plane like an hour before. So she was so exhausted, but she stuck it out. She sent somebody here to check me first, like, and see how I was doing.
Yeah, maybe go rest a little bit.
Yes, and she did. And then that's when Annette was her name, was like, okay, I think you should get here. Because at that point, I have all my birth notes for that birth here. Yeah, I broke at 12:30 in bed. I called the midwife. They were coming every 2 to 3 minutes, my contractions. So at 1:30 is when the other midwife arrived. I was already at a four. So to me, that was like, things are
Huge.
happening. Yeah, that's huge news. And then 4 a.m. is when Lucy showed up. So this is another thing I want to pinpoint on. When I met with Lucy, she asked me if I had ever been told that I had any scar tissue on my cervix, which I didn't even know really was a thing. And I said no. I mean, because she read that I never really like got past, like I didn't get past the six, and then I didn't get past eight. And she's like, that's kind of something she really researched and studied, and actually does it with a lot of her people, where she said she's had so many births that they're not progressing. She goes in there and she says it feels like bubble wrap, and she'll kind of like pop them,
Manually
like
massage
massage it
it.
out, and then within like sometimes she said 20 minutes the baby be like born. So I never even heard of that. Now I was even more excited to go with her because I'm like, you know what, that makes sense. Maybe my cervix needed a little help because I did have scar tissue for some reason. And sure enough, She said she couldn't check it till I was in labor. She gets here at 4. She does a release. So she checks me during a contraction. She's like, oh, yeah, you have a bunch of scar tissue. She does that. I went from a 4 to a 7 in that one contraction that she massaged and
Just
like
melted away.
incredible. That right there, I was just like, oh my God, this is gonna happen. That's when I knew I knew that it was gonna happen because I had someone who was not only knowledgeable, but believed in me and things that I didn't even know like existed as far as the scar tissue stuff. So yeah, it was just, I was contracting from the pool and then I was like on the couch and then I would go back to the pool, but in the pool, I wasn't really progressing much. Like I got complete at 6:30 a.m. So I went into labor at 12:30, and at 6:30, I was complete. First of all, never been complete. So that was like, I
Yay.
know, a huge shock to me. And I almost didn't believe it when she told me, but I did. So she's like, you know, we can try to start like pushing to see what it feels like, because I don't didn't had never pushed. So in the span of the birth until she was born, it was a total of almost 9.5 hours that I pushed. She was being a little stubborn little thing and did not want to come out, but I would push for a while and she'd be like, okay, this isn't working in this position. So then she'd get me out of the tub and then I would try pushing where I was laying down and she had like the blanket or something wrapped around her and I'd like a tug of war, like I was pulling and she would pull back. Yeah. And that was working, but then this little baby really gave me a run for my money. She decided to flip posterior and asynclitic, just like my first. So she's like, well, you were complete and we were making progress and you are complete, but now the baby has decided to move.
Move.
So we're gonna have to do 10 contractions on the toilet, which, oh my gosh, I know some women enjoy that position, but that dilation station, not for me. It's so intense on there. So I did 10 contractions on there. 10 contractions on each side with a peanut ball. And sure enough, like when she checked again, the baby had gotten in the perfect position. So that 30 minutes of very uncomfortable positioning,
Worth it.
it worked and kept pushing. Like, so I'm still pushing from 6:30, 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, still like just, yeah, not the baby. She's just being stubborn. She's like, you know, she did say to me, she's like, some things in life just aren't fair. And I'm sorry, right now, this is not fair. Whenever I meet God in the future, I'm going to say, why? Like, why is this baby getting stuck on something? What is this baby doing? So she just like believed in me though. She was telling me like, listen, we're going to do this. Pushing was just so intense. I mean, I was getting to the point where I was so tired. And I had wrote in my notes in the form, make sure that you have somebody there that knows to like make sure you're hydrated and give you snacks, because when you're in the thick of this intense labor, that's the last thing you want, but like your body needs it. I don't think I did enough. I kept like pushing it away and my lips were like dry because I didn't have enough water and I was so exhausted because I hadn't eaten in like, I don't know, 24 hours. I don't know. It was a lot, but I'm just still pushing, still contracting. So she's like, okay, she's getting stuck. And what I think she was getting stuck on is, you know, the little bone in your pelvic floor that like kind of curves. What's that bone called?
Tailbone? No.
It's the other, like, is that
The
where it
pubic
comes from?
symphysis bone?
Yes, that I think is what she was getting stuck on, is what she was saying. She's like, wasn't wanting to get past that to initially like come down. So we were just having to try all of these
Positions.
positions. She knew exactly what she was doing though. She like knew exactly what to tell me to do. Like it was just the most intense pushing. I'm talking, it was like, I know that's what they call it, purple pushing is what we were having, because it was just like, we got to get this baby down. We got to get her to like come down. So I ended up being in a squat. So my husband was sitting on the couch behind me. I was in a squat and he was under my arms, like holding
Holding
me
you up.
up. Yes, that was the one that was working. So that's, whew, I pushed like that for a while, hours, hours. And the baby finally got past whatever that was and like came down. And at 2:19 is when she was born. But I do remember she's coming out. So I'm pushing. And then I just remember her saying, like, oh, posterior shoulder. And she just like gets in there and like, it was like no big deal to her, just fixes it. And I think she was sort of asynclitic, but she was able to just choop, choop, maneuver something around and the baby just came out. And I was in so much shock that honestly, it didn't even hit me right away. That's why the picture that I posted, you could see it on my face. Like, I just get
I
that
saw it. And you're just like
too.
staring at her. Yeah, you're like, wait, what?
That picture, because I mean, it was so real and just,
I love it though.
oh my gosh. So another thing I'll pinpoint on is that the babies don't always breathe right away. And I didn't realize this. My
Yeah, they
baby.
don't come out crying
No.
like they do in the
Hey, she didn't
movies.
breathe for 4 minutes. She didn't take her first
No.
breath. So it was in my notes. She was testing the whole time. Like, she's like, nope, the placenta, or not the placenta, the umbilical cord pulsing. She's breathing. Everything is fine. She's like, I started to kind of freak out a little bit. She's like, I need you to calm down. Your baby is perfectly fine. Everything is here. She's breathing. The core is pulsing. Like, you got to just like breathe with me. Look at me. Calm down. Cause I'm like, oh my God, she's not breathing. What's happening? And sure enough, I think she was also like in shock that she finally made it earthside, and then she took her first breath. And yeah, I was like, oh my God, I did that. I had never felt more powerful than I had in that moment. And that is the best word I can use to describe that. Like, I felt like I could conquer anything ever that was thrown at me ever again in my life, pushing that 9.5 pound baby out of me. Yeah, 9.5 pounds. She's like, well, are you ready to weigh her? And I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be like 7, like my others. Nope, 9.5 pounds. Yeah, but no tearing, no tearing.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, she was really doing each contraction. We used half a bottle of like the Costco size olive oil. No, like, so that's what she uses, is olive oil to do everything. And she was just really having to like press down on my perineum, because she was just so strong, I guess. I don't know, that it just like didn't want to budge. But that part was also very intense. But I think that it helped like her come out. But yeah, I did. I pushed her out, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is I did it. Like, I just remember sobbing once I realized I gave birth, because I was in so much shock. Oh my gosh. Best moment ever. Best moment. Definitely.
Oh my gosh, how
It
is
was
your husband
incredible.
feeling?
He was crying too, and just like, wow, you did it. Because he did always believe in me. Like, he supported my journey. He was a little nervous for it being after two C-sections, but once he talked to Lucy and like saw how much knowledge she had, yeah, he never questioned it. So that, I think it's also like, I know not all the partners do, because they get scared or nervous and they don't really know, but it helps to have a supportive partner and to kind of quiet all the other noise. Because I very nicely but like firmly had to tell my parents, I love you. I know that you love me. This is what I'm doing. I've got it covered. And then eventually, when people feel that firmness, but also it's like respectful, they kind of like back off you a little bit. But you have to kind of stand your ground with that, because oh my gosh, all like the, can you do this? You shouldn't do this, yada, 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 like in your ear. And I did it. So yeah, that's incredible.
Oh my gosh,
And
I
I
am
like
so
owe it to
happy
my
for you.
midwife too, because she just, without her, man, I don't know. She was like my rock through the whole entire thing.
She sounds incredible,
She's
absolutely
amazing.
incredible.
Yes, amazing.
I love that.
Yeah.
That is just another reminder, women of strength. If you are listening, you gotta find the right provider. And I know it can be so challenging. I know that sometimes, especially with multiple cesareans,
Yeah.
it can be horrible. It can actually just be horrible to find a
No,
provider. And
I
it
know.
sucks. And it is so aggravating to me that it's so hard when it shouldn't be. But I encourage you to keep going. If you have found someone that you like, but something's just not feeling right, it's okay to keep looking. It's okay to keep searching because you do want to be in that space when you go into labor where you feel confident in your provider. You feel like your provider, and not even just feel, your provider is in your court.
Very important, very. And they are out there. You just
They
got to,
are. They
yeah.
are. And we have our supportive list that you can find. You can go to our Instagram and click on the link and find our supportive provider list for sure. Maybe that can help you, but it's so impactful to have a good provider. And then kind of like going back to your first birth of like having a whole bunch of people there and like having the unwanted solicitation of let me just find one word that you can give me to help, things like that. Like they mean well. Like I know my mom meant well when she said the things she did. My mom also had C-section. So my mom, bless her heart, I just don't think she believed that it was possible. And she was scared. She was just scared. And she was trying to do everything she could to like help me. But it's also okay to stand up and be like, hey, I love you guys so much. Like, if someone's in your space, hospital, home, anywhere, I love you so much. Like, validate them and let them know. But I need you to step away. I need you
Absolutely.
to go. It's okay to excuse the ones you love and the ones that you invited into your space, whether it be a mom or dad or
Yeah.
sister or aunt or anybody.
Yeah.
It's okay to protect your space. And that goes the same with a provider. If you were having someone, a nurse or a provider or someone coming in and they're just not gelling with you, and it's kind of you're feeling that ick, it's okay to excuse them.
Definitely. I mean, that's the most sacred space ever. So it is, yes.
Yeah, you want to have those people that you feel completely safe with in that moment. And that, it's hard because you're like, this is my mom or my aunt or whoever. I feel safe with them, but in that very moment, if you're not
Exactly.
feeling safe, heard, loved, supported, then it's okay, to
Yeah.
say, I
Just
love
say
you, but I
but you're
need you
not
to
gonna
go.
be here.
Yes,
Exactly.
I know my mom. I ended up not, my mom is also helping with my kids, but I ended up not having her in a space.
Same.
She
My
was,
mom picked ours up. Yeah.
yeah, she was really sad about not being in my space, but I also think in the time that I was in, like I needed the people that I needed in my space
Yeah.
to be there,
So I
yeah.
think it was the exact same for me. Like, she definitely wasn't happy about it. But I mean, unfortunately, you just, yeah, if they don't agree with what you're doing, you got to separate that. And like you said,
Yeah.
same with mine. She was taking care of my other two.
Yeah.
I don't know how your mom was, but when my mom heard that I did it, she like it's like a thing like switched in her. Was that the your mom where it was like, oh my
Hundred
gosh, you
percent.
did it? That's a good feeling.
Yeah, my mom definitely switched her tone and even went to my little like postpartum visit because I was at a birth center, so I did have a postpartum at the birth center, not at my home. And my mom was crying and thanking the midwife
Oh.
for helping me get the birth that I wanted.
That's
And
incredible.
she really, it was like something clicked for her where she was like, oh, wow, this really was possible, and I'm so
Yeah.
happy for her. She
That's
was
amazing.
scared before, but
Yeah, that's all it is. Like the tone comes from, like you said, scared. They get scared. They love
they're
you, but.
scared. Yeah. Well, thank you so much again. Is there anything else that you'd like to add or leave like a message for our women of strength, walking away from this beautiful experience?
I just hope I can inspire somebody because a lot of everyone's stories inspired me. And if I could even change like one person's thought
Yes.
or one person's journey or anything to inspire them, then I've like done my duty. I really just want to inspire people that it is possible. It is
Yeah.
possible.
It is possible,
Yep.
and it can be infuriating and defeating when you
Yep.
are in the journey and you're like you said, like, I'm getting to an A, yes. And then you're like, flip, the
No.
same dang thing. Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
That's hard. That's a hard place to be in.
It
But to be able to process, work through things and stand back up and say, okay, do I want to do this again?
is.
Yes, I do want to do this again. And you might not want to do it again, and that's okay too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but knowing that like it is possible and you can go again.
Yep, absolutely. So yeah, that's what I would say. You can do it. And then the whole provider thing, just find a supportive provider. They're
Yes.
out there.
They are out there, and I know it's hard to find, but they are out there. So keep looking. Okay, well, thank you so much again. Congratulations on your
Thank
sweet baby
you.
girl. I really appreciate it. And I'll tell you what, you are going to touch not just one, many other people out there listening
That's
to this
amazing.
story.
That's my hope. That's what I hope. Thank
It will happen.
you
Thank
for
you for
having
being.
me again.
Yes, absolutely. I'm so honored.
Would you like to be a guest on the podcast? Head over to thevbacklink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbacklink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.
Before we start our episode today, I wanted to talk a little bit more about our favorite, Needed. Needed isn't just for moms. They've created an incredible supplement to support dads too.
From a men's multi, sperm support, to omega-3s, and CoQ10, Nita takes a whole body approach to men's fertility and health. Learn more at thisisnita.com, and don't forget, our community gets 20% off your first order with code VBACK.